If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Mentioned last week that we're going to be stepping away from our series in 1 Corinthians for a few weeks as we lead up to Easter. We're going to spend some time focusing as much as possible on Jesus. And you saw the Easter video there a moment ago. And when you spend time asking people to come with you to church on Easter, we ask that you not do it that way. And that people think that we're just a little more normal than that. But ask them to come and spend some time with us. Good Friday night, we'll have a service here at 7 o'clock. We'll be obviously discussing the death of Christ that night. Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, that's what we're going to be talking about. There's also going to be a breakfast that morning at 9 o'clock. And so come, bring some people with you, ask people to come, and hopefully we have a good crowd here, and many people will get an opportunity to hear the gospel this Easter. And so, last week we talked about our performance, that God does not base our relationship with Him on our performance. God bases our relationship with Him on the performance of Jesus. What a treasure we have in Jesus. And it doesn't matter good day or bad day, whether you think yourself as being a good person or a bad person, all that is set aside because we believe that Jesus is what makes us acceptable to God. And so today, the main truth that I want to communicate through our passage is this. God has proven He is for me. God has proven He is for me, and He's invested in my ultimate good because He sent His Son to die for my good. God has proven it through the death of His Son. So I can know the circumstances of my life, though maybe painful now, are ultimately blessings for my benefit because God, who is over all things, loves me. Present circumstances aren't ultimate because the present doesn't adequately represent the big picture of what actually is taking place. And so, God has proven that He is for you and that He loves you by sending His Son. If you take anything away from this morning, it is that. It is a fact that Jesus went to the cross to bear sins for sinners like me and like you. And because of that, God has proven that He loves us by giving His only Son over to death. Let's read it here in Romans chapter 8. Starting at verse 28, we'll be reading through verse 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise be to You, our Father, that because You have had these things written for our benefit, and because You have so worked history to benefit us through the death of Your Son, Lord, we can claim these promises as ours, that Your love will never be separated from Your people. That no matter what we experience in this life, God, You are with us and You are for us, making us conquerors, not making us defeated and condemned. In Jesus, we are victorious. God, make that very real to us this morning. Be our teacher. Lord, instruct us. Give us minds and hearts and ears ready to hear today. and to walk forth from this place ready to praise your name. What a glorious and gracious and good God you are. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you all woke up this morning and you didn't even know it was going to snow last night? Anybody?
Who didn't know?
Yeah. As of yesterday, I didn't. And so after seeing the weather, somebody else reminded me. I looked at it and said, how is it possible that we have snow coming again? But the winter season has proven that it could snow at any time, and that's okay. Because we know that just around the corner, there's going to be some warmth, right? As a matter of fact, this week I've already seen there's going to be some warmth. Yeah. And then the corner might come again where we get a little bit more snow. But so short term, if all we knew was this winter, you know, I just moved here in November and all I felt is cold. And so I might feel as though all there is cold, but I know that's not the case. I know that's not the case. I've looked at the forecast like into April already and seen that it normally, on average, is much warmer than it has been. Big picture. We want to know the big picture of what's going on. We're not trapped in winter forever. This is not the eternal winter. All right? Summer, spring, warmth is around the corner. We know that to be true because we know from experience that that's what has always happened. But we also just know because there are seasons. God has given us seasons. There is a time for cold. There's a time for warmth. It's coming. So we know the big picture. But often the case is that when you're in your present circumstance, whatever that is, whatever your present circumstance is, it's very difficult to see past that, isn't it? It's very difficult to see past whatever is going on in my life right now, what is most painful to me, what is most difficult, and I stop seeing the big picture of what God is doing and what He has done for me. So big picture this morning, we want to understand that God is for us in Jesus, and that everything that takes place in your life, good, bad, what might seem to be indifferent, nothing is wasted with God. He has a purpose for every bit of it. You can be confident of that because He tells us in His Word. All things. I mean, how many of y'all know this passage? If you know many Scripture passages, this is one that you've at least heard many times, that all things work together for our good, right? For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That everything that is taking place is working for your benefit. Because of what Jesus has done for you. He has purchased you. He has purchased a future for you with God. So you can be certain this morning, no matter what you're facing right now, whatever that present circumstance is, it's very difficult to see past, that God has a big picture overarching over your life, leading you to look more like Jesus, and He uses everything that takes place to make that happen. His ultimate end is your perfect holiness, and that's what God is concerned about. And He uses everything to bring that about. And so, my intention this morning is to plant this truth firmly in your minds so that the big picture of what God is doing, what God is blessing you in Christ, what He's doing, is more clear to you in the days ahead. So that you can prepare for a time, if you're not in that time right now of difficulty, that you prepare knowing that times are going to come where difficulty is at your doorstep. Pain and suffering, disease, death, that these things come. And when that time comes, you can say, praise be to God. Because I know He is using this for my good. And this has a purpose in my life. And so today I've got two primary truths and two secondary truths from this passage. And the first primary truth is this, that through Christ, God has done the greatest thing for me. He's already done it. So I have no reason to doubt Him now. That in Christ He has done the most supreme act of love for me. How could I ever doubt His love for me going forward? The foundational truth is here in verse 32. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? This is supposed to be weighty. It's supposed to be heavy on us that God did not spare His only Son. That's supposed to have an impact on us, and let's see how weighty and heavy it is what God has already done on our behalf. And because He's already done this great thing on our behalf, we can't doubt that He will also do these other things that are smaller by comparison. If He has given His Son, then of course He will do these other things on our behalf. Maybe said another way, the death of Christ was meant to glorify Jesus and benefit men. So God had two large purposes taking place there. God always is about bringing glory and honor to himself. And he glorifies himself through Jesus, his son. And so the death of Jesus was meant to glorify Jesus, but it also has a benefit for you. God wants his death to benefit you. Would God go through such great lengths to make this happen, this benefit, this good, only to pull up short at the end and refuse you to give you the blessings from it? We would say, of course not, surely not. But so often those present circumstances blind us to see how clearly true that that is. Of course God is for me. Through all I'm suffering with right now, or through what I'm battling with, the difficulties, of course God is for me. But it's so often hard to see. Jesus dying and being raised from the dead was the heavy lifting. God did the heavy lifting in that. Won't he now also bless those purchased by his blood? Imagine there is a woman who's a wife and a mother, and she's been planning a shopping trip for a while. You know, she's been clipping coupons, she's been saving money, she's preparing to go to the grocery store for her family. And she waits till late at night to go. Matter of fact, probably we could say even late or early morning to go. She's been preparing meals and recipes, been writing out her list in preparation for this time. She gets to the store, it's dark outside, she spends a great deal of time in there searching for the right foods for her family, wants them to be a healthy family, eat right, spends a couple of hours there, and by the time that she gets out of the store, the sun's already coming up. And she just decides, well, sun's already coming up, it's close to breakfast, I'm going to spend time making food for my family before they wake up. She starts preparing that meal, cooking for them for over an hour before they finally wake up. She sets the table. It looks like something that you would see in a magazine. It looks glorious. They come downstairs and she says, you can't eat that. You can't eat that. I just want to keep the table looking beautiful. I did all of this just so the table looks nice. Of course that's not what she's going to say, right? She went through such great lengths because she loves her family to prepare this meal, to shop for all this, to clip those coupons, write down recipes, all of this work, all of this heavy lifting, so that she can bless her family. God has done the heavy lifting, done all things for you in Christ through his death by not sparing his son. Of course, he is going to bless you with what comes from his death. He's not going to stop short now at the end, having already gone this far on your behalf. God loves you. God loves you, and he has proven it by giving his son. He's not given his son over to death to stop now from blessing you from his death, to stop from giving you the good or the benefits from it. And the good, primarily as we see in this passage, is working all things for your benefit, carrying you from just being a thought in the mind of God, carrying you from being a thought in the mind of God all the way to glory, all the way to glory, and allowing nothing to separate you from his love. He will let nothing separate you. No matter what you're experiencing right now or what you might experience in the future, you can know that because God gave his son, he has proven himself for you. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him now. He's not going to fail you. He is making you a conqueror. All these things that Paul lists here in chapter 8 when he says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword, and all these other things that might keep you from God, might keep you from his love. Paul says that because of God's love being set upon you, you are a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You are victorious over all of these things that might seem to be holding you in bondage. Not so, says Paul. God shows that he is for you through the death of his son. The second thing that I want you to see that's the primary truth is that in Christ, my greatest enemies have become my greatest allies. I will praise God during the tough times because it's through them that he blesses me deeply. So what looks to be my greatest enemy can actually be my greatest friend. In verse 28, Paul mentions that all those things are working together for my good. And in verse 35, as we just mentioned, he lists what those things are. And while we're experiencing distress or various tribulation, trials, diseases, suffering, It does not mean that God in His love has failed you, or that in some way that God has left you. He's not left your side while you walk through those fires. And I think this is mind-blowing to those who don't know the love of Christ. Mind-blowing to those who don't know the love of Christ, that somebody could be experiencing all kinds of difficulty but yet still have joy and yet still be praising God. Some of you are in those circumstances right now, that in the middle of great difficulty and great distress, maybe even great pain, you praise God. What a witness and a testimony to a watching world that you have something that gives you joy when everything else seems to be against you. But God is for you, and you know it. That if God is for me, it does not matter who else is against me, because He is the ruler of the whole universe. Everything is underneath His power and underneath His sway and underneath His sovereign will. And so if He, the King of all glory, is for me, oh, it doesn't matter who's against me, because He's holding me firmly and squarely in His hands. My God is for me, who rules this world. Who cares who's against me? Because primarily He's the one that I am concerned about. He has so guaranteed His love for you through Jesus. Not only are you certain to prevail, as verse 37 says, that you're more than a conqueror. So not only are you certain to prevail, please hear this. These challenges come to you in the loving providence of God, and they serve you. They serve you. These are not your masters. They are your servants. Your distresses are what serves you, driving you closer to God. Many of you probably have heard the song, the old hymn, that's known mostly by the title of God Moves in a Mysterious Way, written by William Cowper, who himself suffered a great deal in his life. Let me read to you a few passages of this, and I think in many ways it describes what we're discussing this morning. He says, "Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower." So the things that you're experiencing right now, they may seem sour or bitter, but you can know that they are going to work for your good and blessings, and they'll be sweet in the end. They'll be sweet in the end. So what looks to the outside world to be your master, whether it's cancer, a lost job, unloving people, persecution, a dying spouse, those darkest hours, they become the servants that take you deeper into the love of God than you could have ever plunged without them. They serve you. They drive you closer to the heart of God, pushing you to seek Him while He may be found, so that you will know the love of Christ that will surpass all understanding and all knowledge that could have been given to you any other way. It's through those things. It's through those things that God brings you closer to Him. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon says this about suffering. "I am afraid that all the grace that I have got of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might almost lie on a penny. But the good that I have received from my sorrows and pains and griefs is altogether incalculable. We never have such close dealings with God as when we are in tribulation. There is no cry so good as that which comes from the bottom of the mountains, no prayer half so hearty as that which comes up from the depths of the soul. Through deep trials and afflictions, hence they bring us to God, and we are happier, for that is the way to be happy, to live near God. So that while troubles abound, they drive us to God, and then consolations abound." Praise be to God. Only in God's wisdom would He reveal things like this to us, that those things that everyone else sees as masters that control them or might ruin them, God says they are your servants. Two more observations from this passage, and we'll be done. First, God is more concerned about your holiness than your comfort. God is more concerned about your holiness than your comfort. So the ultimate thing, as mentioned a while ago, is often the present crisis. You know, what's the big thing that you're dealing with right now? What is so large in front of your eyes, in your sights, that you can't see around it? I bet it's probably something that is different than it was this time last year. What is your crisis? It's hard to see past that thing, isn't it? So that we can clearly see God's big picture for us. So the challenge that we have this morning is that no matter what we face, can we also claim these truths, these promises, to be ours in Christ Jesus? That while God is for us, we know that this present suffering is not ultimate for me. It's not ultimate. The ultimate thing is that God is making us more like His Son. A surgeon has various tools that are used for the greater good of his patient. You know, some of those tools are small and they cut shallow. Some of those tools are large and they cut deep. God knows what needs to be rearranged and removed, just like a surgeon does. What needs to be taken out? What needs to be changed around? What needs to be brought to this person's attention so that they can be more healthy, in a sense? And the surgeon knows that there's going to be short-term pain for long-term good. And a surgeon and his patient, they both need to know the big picture. God knows the big picture. He knows why He's doing what He's doing. He wants us to know why He's doing what He's doing. He wants to make you more holy. He wants to make you more righteous. He wants to make you more loving and gracious. And all of these distresses are tools that He uses to make that happen. I'm not saying this is an easy truth, but it's a very real truth. That you can find comfort in the middle of difficulty because you know that God is for you. And He's shown it by giving you His Son. We see His ultimate purpose, that overarching big picture, in verse 29, where He tells us that He is doing these things, all these things, to conform us into the image of His Son. That's His ultimate purpose. His ultimate purpose is not my short-term happiness, my short-term comfort, ease of life. That's not what God is primarily interested in. He is interested in making you look like Jesus, and it's going to happen. And He guarantees it in this passage. He goes on to say that ultimately the thing that's going to happen is you're going to be glorified, that you are going to look like Jesus. You will look like Jesus. You will think like Jesus. One day this body of death will be stripped from us. No more pain, no more sin, no more suffering. God has that waiting for you. He has that waiting for you. It's a promise that He has given to you, that you can know that it is certain because He gave His Son over to death. The primary truth is Jesus died for sinners like me and like sinners like you. That's a fact. Believe that this morning, that Christ gave Himself over to death for your good, to demonstrate God's love for you, so that one day you will be holy. And so, whatever the road holds for you this week or next month, the path may not be easy and it may not be straight, but God will be with you. God will be with you. Secondly, when God doesn't deliver you, He will carry you. He'll carry you. Now, we pray for healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for those smooth roads, don't we? And I think we're supposed to. I think it brings glory to God when we ask Him to do what seems like the impossible. But if He so chooses to leave us in the fire, He promises that He will be with us, that He'll carry us through those difficult times. We want the easy path, don't we? We want the easy path, but God knows in His glorious sovereignty what His child truly needs. Again, Charles Spurgeon, who himself, he suffered a great deal in his life, a lot of pain, a lot of sickness. He wrote this. In the matter of faith healing, health is set before us as if it were the great thing to be desired above all things. Is it so? I venture to say that the greatest earthly blessing that God can give to any of us is health, with the exception of sickness. Sickness has frequently been of more use to the saints of God than health has. A sick wife, a newly made grave, poverty, slander, sinking of spirit might teach us lessons nowhere else to be learned so well. Trials drive us to the realities of religion. Is that where you are this morning? Is that where you are this morning? Sickness, death, cancer, suffering, whatever it might look like to you, know this, that God uses all of these things gloriously to drive you close to Him. What a gracious God. What a loving God that we have, who never wastes anything. He doesn't waste anything. Not one ounce of pain will be wasted with God. Not one tear will be wasted with God. He'll never stop carrying you because He will never stop loving you. He'll never stop loving you. You've been bought and you've been brought by Jesus to be God's beautiful possession forever. Forever. He's not going to set you down now when He has made a covenant pact relationship with you in Jesus, that you are His forever. So don't doubt Him in the difficult times. Don't just praise Him in good times. Trust Him and praise Him at all times. He's always loving for you. He's always carrying you. He's always meaning well toward you and working everything for your good through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing we have in Jesus. What praise should be on our lips this morning. God, for those who are here, I don't know everything that each person is experiencing right now. But I pray, Lord, that this word this morning, your word, would be rock solid in their hearts. That through whatever experience they are having, you are for them. And you have proven this through the death of your Son. Make that truth stand out to us today. And as we go forth from this place into whatever you have held for us this week and in the months ahead, God, we might rejoice knowing that it all works for our good. Praise be to you, our God. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of today's service, some of you may just need somebody to pray with you. Some of you may need to know Jesus for the first time. Whatever it is that God is laying on your heart this morning, I'm going to be standing over here at the end. Just come and find me, and I'd love to spend some time with you. We're going to close in song now, so please stand and be ready to praise God's name.